and then multiplying that number by 0.37 to get your required daily grams of protein. To give you a general sense, you'll get 20 grams of protein from one scoop of protein powder, about 2.5 eggs, a Quest bar, 2 to 3 ounces of fish or chicken, a 3-ounce can of tuna, a 3.75-ounce can of sardines, or 4 ounces of canned crab meat. To best judge your intake of animal protein, just remember the rule. Eat one and you're done, meaning a single 3-ounce serving a day. And please do not fall into the protein combining trap, which means that you must eat all essential amino acids at every meal. This is total nonsense from an evolutionary standpoint. Your ancestors didn't examine their food choices each meal to make sure that they were getting the right combination of proteins. Your body recycles essential amino acids. You don't need a fresh batch of each and every essential amino acid from protein on a daily basis. To complicate matters, the calculations above do not take into account that every day we recycle about 20 grams of our own protein that has been sloughed into our intestines and mucus. In other words, both mucus and your gut lining cells contain protein. And when mucus is produced or your gut lining cells die and are replaced, we digest these proteins in our gut. Your digestive system is very economical. If you want to be a real protein calculating purist, you could eliminate another half of the already low protein recommendation because you are recycling your own protein daily. As you can see, our protein needs are shockingly small. In actual practice, this means that if you had 2 medium eggs at breakfast, about 15 grams of protein, a big salad topped with 1 ounce of soft goat cheese, about 5 grams for lunch, a couple of tablespoons of pistachios, about 3 grams for a snack, and 3 ounces of salmon with dinner, 22 grams, you'd be far exceeding your protein needs. And I am not even counting the protein in the vegetables you are eating. Yes, there is protein in vegetables. 1/2 cup of steamed cauliflower supplies 1 gram of protein. A medium baked sweet potato, 2 grams. And an artichoke, about 4 grams. Protein adds up quickly. And as you'll see, I'm going to be lenient about the amount of protein you can have initially on the Plant Paradox program. But by phase 3, for very good reasons, you are going to try to significantly restrict both your overall protein intake and the amount of animal protein. Forget your excuses and get inspired. In part 1, I talked about supposedly healthy foods that do not live up to their name. As a Plant Paradox newbie, you may have still some lingering doubts about the wisdom of cutting out whole grains, organic chicken, cow's milk yogurt, edamame, tofu, and other foods that are marketed as healthy. You'll need to get over that hurdle to succeed on the Plant Paradox program. On the one hand, the program is very simple. What other diet has only 4 rules? But admittedly, it does require some mental and physical realignment if you have been eating the typical overproteinized American diet, or even if you have been dutifully consuming what you think is healthy food. Ditto if you have been eating a variety of vegetables without understanding the significant differences between, say, a potato and a yam. Coming up are some of the most common excuses, as exemplified by the experiences of some of my patients who have become Plant Paradox advocates after changing their way of eating and experiencing dramatic changes in their health and often their weight. When you hear of their dramatic recoveries, you will probably decide that you too are willing to make some relatively small changes in order to have major changes in your health, weight, and overall sense of well-being. Don't let any of these excuses keep you from moving forward with the program. Excuse number 1, you are already slim, fit, and active. If so, you may feel there is no need to change your way of eating. What follows is the story of an outwardly fit man who did not know that he had a serious health problem, with increased risk for even more serious problems. Fortunately, when he found out, he decided to do something about it. Resigning himself to accept the inevitable was never an option. Excuse number one, success story. An extreme athlete betters all his numbers. Simon V. came to see me on the advice of a friend. He was 40 years old, cycled 150 to 200 miles a week, was slim and muscular, and from all appearances was in great shape. Initially, he was interested in improving his athletic performance, but a test revealed that he was not going to enjoy a healthy lifespan. His oxidized LDL, bad cholesterol level, an indicator of how sticky your cholesterol is, was extremely high, and he had low HDL, good cholesterol. He also carried what's commonly called the Alzheimer's gene, known as ApoE4. 30% of us carry that gene. Fortunately, I am the world's expert on the dietary approach for people with ApoE4. After adopting the Plant Paradox program, Simon reduced his body fat to a remarkably low 8% and lost 8 pounds. His oxidized LDL went from 107 to 47, which is within the normal range, and his HDL is now up to 62, also in the normal range. Not only did Simon improve his chances for living a long, healthy life, but he also bettered his athletic performance. He can now sustain a heart rate of 180 beats per minute for 30 minutes, and his resting heart rate dropped an additional 8 points. Excuse number two, you are worried that the program requires a deep understanding of human metabolism and nutritional concepts. The good news is that I have several patients who have Down syndrome or are otherwise intellectually challenged who have had great results. I also have a number of patients who don't speak English who have seen positive outcomes. Although it is important to listen to this entire program to understand why the Plant Paradox program works, its success often comes down to knowing and abiding by the two lists of food to either eat or avoid. Excuse number two, success story. Ensuring a healthy future. Molly S. has Down syndrome, along with a host of health problems. At 47, she had a fatty liver, high cholesterol, and pre-diabetes, and was in kidney failure. She was also obese. Her mother was worried about Molly's long-term future, considering her cluster of medical issues, and they both came to see me. Molly's mother was particularly concerned that at the special school Molly attended, the students were fed cookies and ice cream and other problematic snacks. Once Molly's mother understood the Plant Paradox program herself, she implemented it right along with Molly, explaining to her daughter how to follow it and preparing food for her to take to school. Molly followed the program to the letter and within 6 months had lost 30 pounds. Her kidney function has returned to normal, and all her numbers for cholesterol, liver function, and blood pressure also normalized. Molly learned that the foods being pushed on her at her school were making her ill. Now she tries to help her classmates avoid them too. Excuse number three. You're too old to make significant changes in your eating and other habits, or you think your loved ones are. A lot of the patients I see in my Palm Springs clinic are retirees. I am constantly inspired by the willingness of elderly or extremely ill people to make changes that will better their lives. Here's just one such inspiring story that drives home the point that I see every day. It is never too late to improve your health. You replace about 90% of your old cells with new ones every 3 months, regardless of your age. giving those new cells high-quality building materials to work with via the food you eat and what you feed your bugs will absolutely make a new you. Excuse number 3, success story. It's never too late to make better choices. I first met Rebecca L. 10 years ago when she was 85. As the sole caregiver for her mentally disabled 60-year-old daughter, she told me at our first office visit, "You've got to help me. I can't die." At that time, Rebecca had severe coronary artery disease, congestive heart failure, diabetes, and heartburn. Her arthritis and obesity made it difficult for her to walk. Well, by following the Plant Paradox program, she lost 70 pounds and has kept it off. All of her health problems are a distant memory, so she is no longer taking any medications. At 95, the striking redhead now has a live-in boyfriend who is only 85. With this inspiration under your soon-to-be-smaller belt, I trust you are champing at the bit to get going. But if you still have some lingering doubts, consider these facts. Great apes eat fruit to gain weight for the winter. What makes you different? Nothing. Farmers use grains, corn, and beans to fatten livestock for slaughter. What makes you different? Nothing. Horses are fed oats to fatten them for the winter when forage is hard to come by. What makes you different? Nothing. Every time you think the rules don't apply to you, you have to answer the same question. What makes you think that you are any different? I think you know the answer. Unless you don't want to slim down and don't want to improve your overall health, let's move on to the cleanse phase of the Plant Paradox program. Chapter 7, Phase 1, Kickstart with a 3-Day Cleanse. Welcome to Phase 1 of the Plant Paradox program, the 3-Day Kickstart Cleanse. As you now know, bacteria and other single-celled organisms can control you in many ways, including creating an insatiable appetite and making you crave the wrong foods. These invaders have taken over, partying in your gut, while you suffer the consequences. It is time to drive them out. Just as a gardener or farmer prepares the soil before planting, you need to prepare the environment in your gut before you sow the seeds of wellness. Think of the French word terroir, which refers to the combination of soil, climate, and region that produces a distinctive wine as a metaphor for the individual environment in your gut. Based on my experience studying tens of thousands of patients, I can assure you that if your gut is damaged, you can eat all sorts of good-for-you foods, but you simply won't benefit from them. That's where this 3-day cleanse, or modified fast, if you prefer to think of it that way, comes in. It begins the process of restoring your gut. Well-designed studies have shown that a 3-day cleanse completely changes the types of bacteria that inhabit your gut. Yet within a day of reverting to your old habits, all the good guys leave and the bad guys move back in. But here's an important point. While everyone has been focusing on the bugs that live in your colon, recent research suggests that the real war is happening in your small intestine. Doctors and scientists have been focused on testing patients' stools because we haven't had the tools to reach the small intestine. But that's where the action begins. Only the Plant Paradox program focuses on your entire gut and the buddies that live everywhere in and on you. Because it is so important to keep those gut buddies around, you will move directly into phase 2 after 3 days on the cleanse. Despite the solid research on how a 3-day cleanse changes gut flora, these 3 days are optional. Feel free to start in phase 2 if you prefer, but understand that it will take a bit longer to achieve results. Phase 1 strategies. Prepare your gut for planting a new crop by weeding out the bad things and preparing the soil for the good things. In just 3 days, this modified fast or cleanse doesn't just repair your gut. It also repels invaders, the gut busters, by starving many of the gut bacteria that make us sick and fat and stimulate an immune response. The complete cleanse is composed of 3 components, and while I recommend you follow all 3 protocols, you will still see results even if you just follow the 3-day food plan. Component 1. On and off the menu. During this short cleanse, you will eat no dairy, grains or pseudo-grains, fruit, sugar, seeds, eggs, soy, nightshade plants, roots, or tubers. Also off the menu are corn, soy, canola, or other inflammatory oils, along with any form of beef or other farm animal meat. Instead, you will eat delectable dishes made with vegetables and small amounts of fish or pastured chicken. We also provide vegetarian and vegan options for recipes that include fish or chicken. This 3-day protocol is based on the Kickstart Cleanse, which my good friend Irina Socarese designed for the Plant Paradox program. The founder of Catalyst Cuisine, Irina developed the recipes for this phase, some of which also recur in the Phase 2 meal plan. Meal plans for Phase 1 appear in the enhancement and include vegan and vegetarian versions. Recipes, which can also be found in the enhancement, similarly provide vegan and vegetarian variations. Using the principles I teach, Irina cured herself of rheumatoid arthritis, which had crippled her. By removing all the proscribed foods, you too will extinguish the flames of inflammation, allowing your body to begin the process of healing. The ingredients for the cleanse recipes can be found at most well-stocked supermarkets. You can modify her recipes or use your own as long as you follow these guidelines. Vegetables. Welcome to the wonderful world of vegetables, with particular emphasis on the cabbage family, including bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, any color and type of cabbage, cauliflower, kale, and mustard greens. Greens include endive, all kinds of lettuce, spinach, Swiss chard, and watercress. Also on the menu are artichokes, asparagus, celery, fennel, and radishes, along with such fresh herbs as mint, parsley, basil, and cilantro, plus garlic and all kinds of onions, including leeks and chives. Don't forget the ocean vegetables, kelp and seaweed, including sheets of nori. You can eat as much as you want of these vegetables, either cooked or raw. If you have irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, SIBO, diarrhea, or another gut issue, limit the raw veggies and cook the rest thoroughly. Protein. Consume no more than 8 ounces of wild-caught fish, such as salmon, shellfish, or mollusks, or pastured chicken a day in 2 4-ounce portions, about the size of a deck of cards. Certain corn products, tempeh without grains, and hemp tofu are also acceptable. Fats and oils. You can and should have a whole Haas avocado each day. Olives of any kind are also permitted. Use only avocado oil, coconut oil, macadamia nut oil, sesame seed oil, walnut oil, extra virgin olive oil, hemp seed oil, and flaxseed oil. MCT oil, sometimes called liquid coconut oil, Perilla oil, and Thrive algae oil, which we will discuss later, are also good choices but may be difficult to find in stores. They are all available online. Snacks. Have 1 or 2 small snacks of romaine lettuce boats filled with guacamole, or simply half an avocado splashed with lemon juice, or 1/4 cup of Dr. G's new and improved world-famous nut mix, or any combination of the approved nuts. Condiments and seasonings. Use fresh lemon juice, vinegar, mustard, freshly cracked black pepper and sea salt, and your favorite herbs and spices. Avoid any commercially prepared salad dressings or sauces. Beverages. Have a green smoothie each morning. Drink 8 cups a day of tap or filtered water or San Pellegrino or other Italian sparkling mineral water or Acquapana, a still mineral water. Also drink plenty of green, black, or herbal tea or regular or decaffeinated coffee. If you wish, sweeten your tea or coffee with stevia extract, preferably sweet leaf, which also contains inulin, or just like sugar, inulin. And don't forget, get at least 8 hours of sleep. Exercise in moderation, preferably outdoors. Only the best. The source and quality of the foods you use to make your meals and snacks are critical. Preferably, all vegetables should be 100% organic. Vegetables can be fresh or frozen. If fresh, they should be in season and grown locally with sustainable farming practices if at all possible. All fish and shellfish should be wild caught. All chicken should be pastured. But, as I always say, just do the best you can. Following these guidelines ensures that the foods you'll be eating provide the maximum amount of nutrients and the least amount of disruptors and lectins. I realize that occasionally, if the organic version is unavailable, you may have to use conventional produce, but it's important to understand that the purer the ingredients, the better the results of the cleanse. To ensure that you are not creating inflammation when cooking or dressing foods, you'll be using only certain oils. Phase 1 recipes use avocado oil for sautéing, but you can also cook with most of the oils listed previously. Extra virgin olive oil should never be exposed to high heat, but low heat is fine. Hemp seed and flaxseed oils should not be heated at all, so confine their use to dressing, salads, and other vegetables. See Make the Cleanse Easy in the enhancement for time-saving tips. Component 2. Prepare the soil and remove the weeds. My oldest patient, Michelle Q, who I profiled in my first book, is now 105 years old. She still walks into my office in her 2-inch high heels, dressed to the nines, with her hair and makeup impeccable. When she first became my patient 15 years ago, I asked her why she had come to see me. She answered that I was the only doctor who talked, just like the late great nutritionist Gaylord Houser, who changed her life when she was in her 20s. Thanks to Michelle, I have read everything that Houser ever wrote, and over the years, I have incorporated much of what he taught into my practice. I have tested his dictums on myself as well as on my patients, and not surprisingly, the sophisticated blood tests that I use have confirmed most of his teachings. Hauser's first rule was to start with as clean a slate within your gut as possible. His herbal laxative was designed to do just that, by preparing your gut for planting a new crop, by weeding out the bad things and preparing the soil for good things. While not critical, Hauser's recommendation to clean the gut with an herbal laxative called Swiss Chris, or the equivalent, has been good advice for nearly a century, and it will absolutely kickstart the great results of the Plant Paradox program. You can find Swiss Chris in any pharmacy or order it online. The active ingredient is the laxative herb senna, or sennacides. Each tablet contains 8.5 milligrams. Other gang member-destroying ingredients include aniseed, calendula flower, caraway seed, hibiscus, peach leaves, peppermint oil, and strawberry leaves, along with some binding agents. An adult dose is 2 tablets taken at bedtime. If you do not want to do this or are concerned about the potential discomfort it might cause, let me stress that using this laxative is absolutely optional. If you do opt to use it, take it the night before you begin the cleanse, along with a glass of water. If you prefer the flake form of the product, take 1/2 teaspoon. There is no need to repeat it on the following days. It is a good idea to start this part of the 3-day kickstart cleanse when you are planning to be home the next morning. Component 3. Supplemental assistance. Ideally, you shouldn't just stop with preparing the soil and killing the weeds. I have been very impressed with the ability of several natural supplements to kill bad gut bacteria, molds, and fungi. None of these are absolutely essential. However, if you suffer from IBS, leaky gut, or any autoimmune condition, please consider adding these to your initial regimen. I'll provide doses in the supplement section. The suggested supplements include Oregon grape root extract or its active ingredient, berberine, grapefruit seed extract, not to be confused with another great supplement, grape seed extract, mushrooms or mushroom extracts, spices such as black pepper, cloves, cinnamon, and wormwood to kill parasites, fungi, and other bad gut flora. Reap the rewards. Let me remind you that by following a faster cleanse, even in a mere 3 days, you can change the balance of microbes in your system to more friendly species. That's the good news. But if you just do a cleanse or fast and then return to your old way of eating, any improvement in your gut flora will be short-lived, and the bad guys will return with a vengeance. On the other hand, if you immediately transition to a gut buddy promoting diet, namely phase 2 of the Plant Paradox program, beginning the day after you complete the cleanse, you will be on your way to solidifying the gains you've achieved. At the end of the 3 days, you will absolutely change the balance of your gut bacteria for the better. Almost certainly lose 3 or 4 excess pounds, which will be primarily water weight. Dramatically reduce inflammation. Have an improved sense of well-being thanks to reduced inflammation. Solidify the gains and losses you've achieved by moving immediately on to phase 2. Tips for success. During these 3 days, you will eat delicious food. However, your body will likely miss all the addictive and inflammation-promoting foods to which it is accustomed. You might experience some hunger and perhaps some energy depletion. If you find that you need to eat more than the suggested meals on the Phase 1 meal plan, select items from the list of acceptable vegetables, but do not have more than the 2 servings of guacamole or avocado or any additional fish or chicken. And before turning to more food, try drinking a couple cups of tap or filtered water. You may well hate me for those 72 hours. But by day 4, when you move to phase 2, you will love the fact that your energy has returned in spades and your genes are noticeably looser. Before we move to phase 2, and at the risk of sounding like a broken record, it is absolutely crucial that you segue immediately from phase 1 to phase 2. To keep your gut buddies working for the home team, begin phase 2 on the morning of day 4. Keep listening to get up to speed on this next phase. Chapter 8, Phase 2, Repair and Restore. If your boat is sinking and water is gushing into the hull, instead of bailing faster or using a bigger bucket, both of which are an exercise in futility, you need to plug the holes. Likewise, if you have a health problem, slowing its progress, as modern medicine suggests, is not a solution. Instead, you need to stop the problem in its tracks. Only then can your body start to heal itself. Believe me, your body has the ability to restore itself to perfect health once you eliminate the foods and other forces that prevent it from healing. Now that you've initiated the weeding phase of the Plant Paradox program, it's time to begin the 6-week minimum repair process. The first step is to stop eating the foods full of lectins that are continually blowing holes in the walls of your gut. If you did the 3-day cleanse, you have already begun to eliminate such foods. Once more, let me emphasize the point embodied in rule number 1. Contrary to everything you've been led to believe, it's the things you don't eat that will dramatically change your health. Once you have that principle firmly established in your mind and practice it on a daily basis, you can move on to rule number 2, which says that eating certain foods and taking certain supplements nourish the good bacteria, aka gut buddies, and their friends, which have begun to come out of hiding during the 3 days of phase 1. Simultaneously, you'll continue to starve the bad bacteria by eliminating the foods they thrive on, along with other disruptive products that hinder healing. Make no mistake, for the first 2 weeks, this will be a challenge, because you will be removing a huge number of so-called healthy foods, which are actually making you sick. You might even suffer some withdrawal symptoms, such as low energy, headaches, grouchiness, and muscle cramps. If so, understand that it merely confirms the old adage. The definition of an addict is someone who uses or eats something that he or she knows is killing him, but does so nonetheless. All I ask is that you give me 2 weeks during which you will hate me, and then see how much you like me after that. But remember, although you will see changes in 2 weeks, it takes at least 6 weeks to cement new habits. Stay the course for 6 weeks, and you will find that it becomes virtually automatic. The short food lists I promised you are in the enhancement. For the next 2 weeks, you should eat foods only from the Say Yes Please list, and you should not eat any foods from the Just Say No list. The Phase 2 recipes include many of these Yes Please foods. Phase 2 meal plans include vegan and vegetarian variations. You can find both the Phase 2 recipes and meal plans in the enhancement. Depending on how you respond to the first 2 weeks, you may be able to slowly and incrementally start reintroducing some lectin-containing foods on that list, but I strongly advise you not to add such foods for the full 6 weeks. I suggest you copy this list and carry it with you wherever you go. Take it to the supermarket and restaurants. Keep a copy at your workplace. Refer to it often. Soon, following it will become second nature. For those of you impatient folks who just couldn't wait to start the Plant Paradox program and jumped here without listening to part 1, the list is followed by a quick summary of why I am telling you to do these crazy things. I sincerely hope that as you begin to see the results of following the program, you will take the time to listen to the earlier chapters. It will help you understand why the Plant Paradox program works and why it is a lifetime approach to eating, not a quickie diet to follow, then revert to your old habits. No means no. The Just Say No list is so named because no human being ever ate any of the foods on it until at least 10,000 years ago, when man began to cultivate grains and other crops. Until that point, grains, pseudograins, and beans were not part of our forebears' diet. As a result, our ancestors and their gut buddies never encountered or dealt with the lectins from these seeds. In terms of evolution, getting to know and develop an immunological tolerance to a new lectin within a 10,000-year span is like speed dating. It simply cannot be done. These modern seeds are totally different from the plants and other foods that form the basis of the Plant Paradox program. In contrast, ancient foods you will be eating have been sources of vibrant human nutrition for millions of years. Perhaps just as important, the lectins and polyphenols in these beneficial plants and their leaves have been prevalent in the human diet for so long that your immune system and your gut buddies have developed an intimate and symbiotic relationship with them. Yes, you heard that right. Not all lectins are problematic. However, it does take time, lots of time, for our kind to handle them and the messages they convey. Because this messaging has been constant and consistent over millions of years, these plants foster human health. While I am on the subject, let me again make it crystal clear that you are not going to eliminate all lectins from your diet. However, you can control which ones you consume and how much. So again, I ask you, do you want to trust a plant that mankind has dealt with and with which it has developed a mutual admiration for over millions of years, or one that humans first encountered just a few thousand years ago? If you are hesitant to answer, let me have Dirty Harry answer for you. You've just got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? After treating tens of thousands of patients, I can assure you that the folks who thought that they would get lucky by eating whatever they wanted are the same folks who believe that the house wants you to win at a casino. White is right. As we discussed in earlier chapters, all cultures have tried to deal with the lectins that were making its members ill. For 10,000 years, mankind has been trying to make bread white. The vast majority of the nasty lectins, especially wheat germ agglutinin, WGA, are in the bran, which makes the bread brown. Most cultures have been successful in getting rid of the bran. Think of French baguettes or Italian white pasta. Italians would never countenance whole grain pasta. Meanwhile, brown bread was relegated to the poor. The same lesson applies to rice, the dietary staple of 4 billion people. Over the 8,000 years rice has been cultivated, why has every effort been made to remove the hull to create white rice? Well, the hull contains the lectins, and these smart folks have figured out how to eliminate them. However, recently all that changed with the fateful advice to eat whole grain goodness. Let me reiterate what we learned in part one. Whole grain goodness is a modern disaster, and in fact something that your ancestors desperately and successfully tried to eliminate or lessen ever since grains entered the diet. Whole grain baguettes, croissants, pasta, sushi rice, and soba noodles? Absolute nonsense first, and poison second. The king of lectins. As we learned, beans, peas, soybeans, lentils, and other members of the legume family, often referred to as the so-called pulses, are another relatively recent agricultural addition to the human diet. An individual bean may be small, but with the highest lectin content of any food group, beans can have a big impact. 5 raw black beans or kidney beans will clot your bloodstream within 5 minutes. Ricin, the lectin found in the castor bean, a plant native to Africa but now thriving in Southern California, is the most potent lectin known. A couple of molecules of ricin will kill a human within minutes, making it a favorite espionage tool. Remember, plants don't like you, and they and their babies are armed and dangerous. Want some examples of bean chemical warfare? Massive outbreaks of food poisoning have occurred in schools and hospitals when, as part of a Healthy Eating Days program, cafeterias unwittingly served undercooked beans. According to the Centers for Disease Control, 20% of the food poisoning cases in the United States are the results of lectins in undercooked beans. Does this sound like a health food? Eating canned beans can also raise your blood pressure, thanks to both the BPA in the lining of most cans and the lectin content. Best to give canned beans a wide berth. Ditto for tofu and edamame, green soybeans, along with any other unfermented soy products. They are most definitely not the health foods they are made out to be. Remember, these are foods that we use to fatten animals for slaughter. What makes you any different? Despite these serious concerns about legumes, pressure cooking is a great way to destroy the lectins and retain the nutrition in lentils, kidney beans, and the rest of this large and varied plant family. The Dairy Dilemma. Another of our culture's food icons, placed high on the healthy foods honor roll, is milk, which has no place in a health-conscious diet, or at least cow's milk doesn't. Let me remind you that if you think you are lactose intolerant, or if milk stimulates mucus production, you are actually reacting to the lectin-like casein A1 protein. See Chapter 2 for a complete explanation of the casein A1 mutation and its effect on cows around the world. Fortunately, goats and sheep are not affected by this mutation, making their milk and dairy products acceptable on the Plant Paradox program, with the word of warning that they all have new 5GC, the sugar molecule associated with cancer and heart disease. New World Lectins. We have discussed how Christopher Columbus's discovery of the Americas led to the introduction of New World plants to Europe, Africa, and the Far East. As a side note, my paleo friends just don't seem to understand that no European, African, or Asian had ever been exposed to these plants and their lectins before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Therefore, why they have any place on the paleo diet is perplexing. The same folks who rail against the evils of grains, and I'm with them on that, love American plants, including the nightshade and squash families, along with peanuts and cashews, and sunflower, chia, and pumpkin seeds. Contemplate this. The lectins in the nightshade family include solanine, a neurotoxin. Again, all New World plants have troublesome lectins that most of mankind has eaten for no more than 500 years. Even Native Americans came from Asia, so these plants are new to all of us. According to my friend and colleague Lauren Cordain, Ph.D., the author of The Paleo Diet, the first book on the subject, studies that were conducted to see whether humans could absorb the omega-3 fats in chia seeds proved that indeed they could. There was only one hitch. The researchers had hoped to prove that these omega-3 fats would reduce inflammation. But in fact, inflammation markers in the subjects who ate chia seeds went up slightly rather than decreased, as had been expected. You may be getting some omega-3 fatty acids from chia seeds, but their lectin content outweighs any benefit. The most popular nut is not a nut. The peanut, which originated in the Americas, is a legume, not a nut. As such, it is loaded with killer lectins. Did you know that 94% of humans carry a preformed antibody to the peanut lectin? Get this. The lectin in peanut oil produces atherosclerosis in experimental animals, including even our primate cousins, the rhesus monkey. But when that lectin is removed from the oil, atherosclerosis does not develop. And here's a stunner. When peanuts are fed to humans and the resulting bowel movements are fed to rats, precancerous lesions appear in the rat colons. All these dangerous effects are the result of consuming the peanut lectin. Think about that the next time you are out at the ballpark. The irritating cashew nut. Despite its name, like the peanut, the cashew nut is not a nut. Originally found in the Amazon rainforest, it too is a bean, which hangs separately from the fruit. Thanks to its potent lectins, Amazonians always threw the nut away and ate only the fruit. The shell around the nut is such an irritant that cashew workers must wear protective gloves. There are numerous reports in the dermatological medical literature of outbreaks of rashes after consuming cashew nut butter or the nuts themselves. Cashews are actually in the same botanical family as poison ivy. Keep that in mind before you munch on some cashews. And in my clinical experience, cashews dramatically increase inflammation, particularly in my patients with rheumatoid arthritis. Success story: the cashew connection. Here's an example of what can happen when just a single problematic food sneaks back into your diet. Patrice L. was an extremely thin woman who had battled rheumatoid arthritis since her teenage years and had the joint deformities to show for it. At age 59, she was afraid of the effect that long-term steroids and immunosuppressants were having on her, especially with her advancing osteoporosis. We started the Plant Paradox program, and within 3 months, she was off steroids and all other medications, and all her inflammation markers had normalized. Once she felt good, we started our routine 3-month blood test and follow-up program. On her second year of visit, a typical marker that I follow for lectin ingestion, TNF-alpha, was mildly elevated for the first time since her markers had normalized. I asked her if she was cheating on the program at all, and Patrice was aghast. "No, never. Why would I?" she replied. So, we went down the bad food list. True to her word, she was avoiding all the usual suspects like the plague. Then we got to cashews. She said that she had completely forgotten that they were on the avoid list and had recently been on a cashew kick. In fact, there was a bag in her car that she had been munching on the way to her appointment. 1 month later, a recheck showed her inflammation was gone, along with the cashews. American bad guys. Two of the worst lectin additions to our diet are the American grain known as corn, maize, and the pseudo-grain, quinoa. We have talked at length about the dangers of corn, but did you know that the French banned corn as unfit for human consumption in 1900 and allowed its use only to fatten pigs? This was prompted by an outbreak of congenital mental retardation, cretinism, in northern Italians, who had adopted corn as their main grain. As you now know, corn is not a natural food for cows either. The American pseudo-grain quinoa is just as troubling. The Incas had 3 detoxification processes to remove the lectins in quinoa. First, they soaked it, then they let it rot, fermented it, and finally, they cooked it. If you've used quinoa, you'll know that the first 2 of these instructions are not on the package directions. Need I add that most folks who go gluten-free regard quinoa as a great substitute for the grains they have forsworn. In fact, the lectins in this pseudograin quinoa only further mess with their gut wall. Success story. Mother knows best. Alicia M., a 40-year-old Peruvian, relocated to Los Angeles from Lima a year ago, but continued to eat her traditional diet, which included quinoa as her staple starch. However, since her move, her bowels and overall health had become a mess. Bloating, sleep troubles, IBS, and brain fog welcomed her to America. Yet, she continued her native diet and shunned American fast food poisons until she sought my help. When we got to quinoa on the Just Say No list, Alicia was shocked. She had eaten it all her life without any problem. When I started to explain that the Incas had three steps to eliminate the lectins in quinoa before they ate it, her eyes flew open wide. "Oh my gosh," she exclaimed. "My mother always said you could not eat quinoa without first pressure cooking it. I thought that was just an old wives' tale, so I have been eating it without pressure cooking since coming to America. And you are not going to believe this, but my mother visited 2 weeks ago and bought me a pressure cooker. She was right, but I thought she was just being old-fashioned." 6 weeks later, I got the call that I was expecting. "You and Mom were right," Alicia told me. "I'm back to normal, and I love my pressure cooker." Dealing with deadly nightshades. You'll recall that the nightshade family includes eggplants, potatoes, peppers, goji berries, and tomatoes. Would it surprise you to know that Italians refused to eat tomatoes for 2 centuries after their native son Columbus brought them home? To this day, Italians peel and de-seed tomatoes before making tomato sauce because the peels and the seeds contain the lectins. The clever Italians also hybridize the Roma tomato to maximize the ratio of pulp to skin and seeds. Cooks then blanch the tomato in boiling water, pull off the skin, cut the fruit in half, squeeze out the seeds, and presto, pulp minus the skin and seeds. And, by the way, tomato sauce and pizza were invented just a little over 120 years ago, making them very new foods in evolutionary terms. The same approach applies to cooked Italian red peppers. When you open a glass jar of them, do you see any peels and seeds? No, they have been removed, which is not necessarily the case in most American products. The Indians of the American Southwest always roast, peel, and de-seed their peppers, again to rid them of lectins. Likewise, you won't see peels and seeds in a can of green chilies. Once more, the lectins have been removed. And why are Tabasco and other hot sauces fermented? Because using bacteria to break down the lectins is a time-honored method of lessening the lectin load, just as the Incas did with their quinoa. There is substantial evidence that fermentation significantly reduces lectin content. For example, fermentation in sourdough kills gluten, and fermentation eliminates 98% of the lectins in lentils. If you are willing to invest the time, you can banish lectins with the age-old technique of fermentation, although a pressure cooker can do the job in a fraction of the time. Just remember that this won't work with gluten-containing grains. While we're on the subject of methods used to minimize the impact of lectins, let me overturn a few more myths. Soaking dried grains does not remove gluten or WGA. And sprouting legumes does not make them any easier to digest. In fact, it actually increases lectin content. Feeding sprouted beans or grains to lab animals has been shown to cause cancer. However, as we will discuss further in the next chapter, removing the skins and seeds from tomatoes and peppers And peeling and deseeding squash does reduce the lectin load. Speaking of squash, the squash family. With the exception of the cucumber, which was first described in India 3,000 years ago, but only made its way to Africa and Europe with Columbian trade, the squash family hails from the Americas. As such, its members have lectins that have been foreign to humans for most of their evolution. It bears repeating that any vegetable with seeds, such as pumpkin or zucchini, is a fruit, which will have grown only during the summer. And sugars in these summer fruits that we call vegetables signal your central operating system that winter is coming. This means there are two reasons to avoid the squash family: the lectin content and the store fat for winter message they convey to your body. Success story: the attack of the tomatoes. When 50-year-old Renate Z sought my help, she was taking three medications and using two rescue inhalers to manage her severe asthma, which was accompanied by severe arthritis, hypertension, and high cholesterol. Within a month of starting the Plant Paradox program, she had stopped all her medications, including her high blood pressure pills, and tossed her inhalers. She also lost 30 pounds over the next 6 months. When I saw her 10 months into the program, she mentioned that about a month earlier, she was hungry one night and went to the refrigerator, where her husband had left a container of grape tomatoes in plain view. Renate hadn't had tomatoes in 9 months and said to herself, "What the heck, I'll just have three." 15 minutes later, she suffered a massive asthma attack. Because she had thrown out her inhalers and medications, she had to call 911. The night in the hospital made her a firm believer in the ability of plants to harm their predator using chemical warfare. She hasn't wavered since. You are what they ate. Yes, I have said this a few times already, but it is so important that it bears repeating again. If you feed grains or beans to fish, chicken, cows, pigs, or lambs, they become walking, clucking, and swimming ears of corn or bushels of soybeans. This transformation has occurred only in the last 50 years, coincident with our epidemic of health problems. Some of the most dangerous plant lectins now lurk in the meat of our favorite animal foods. This is but one reason to moderate protein intake. My research and that of others have confirmed that we are overproteinized as a society. From childhood, we are programmed to become proteinaholics, and eating modern animal protein is a major cause of our obesity crisis. As you will soon learn, the single factor that stands out in long-lived societies is the very small amount of protein, and particularly animal protein, that its members consume during their long lifespan. Limiting animal protein, and let me remind you that a fish is an animal as well, extends health span and lifespan. Good fats, bad fats. The oils listed in the Just Say No list in the enhancement are all chemically derived from lectin-bearing seeds or beans, meaning that they should be avoided as much as possible. I used to include canola oil, made from rapeseed, on my acceptable foods list. However, almost all canola oil now comes from GMO seeds, so I have removed it. For now, and for at least 2 weeks, I also want you to limit your intake of all long-chain saturated fats, such as coconut oil and animal fats, along with most other mono- and polyunsaturated long-chain fats, such as olive oil, avocado, and MCT oil. Also, limit your consumption of cheese, sour cream, heavy cream, and cream cheese, even from grass-fed animals, all of which contain saturated fats. Instead of using olive or coconut oil in this period, I recommend perilla oil. It has the highest content of rosmarinic acid from rosemary, which improves cognition and memory. You may not have heard of it, but it is the primary cooking oil in Korea, Japan, and China. You can find it at Asian markets, natural food stores, and Whole Foods, as well as from other online sources. Perilla oil also has the highest content of alpha-linolenic acid, a form of omega-3 fat used in the Lyon, France, heart diet, which has been shown to be more effective at preventing heart disease than the low-fat American Heart Association diet. The Lyon Heart Diet established the gold standard for heart-healthy diets in 1994. Another good alternative is MCT oil. MCT stands for medium-chain triglycerides, which is 100% composed of ketones. It is sometimes called liquid coconut oil because it remains liquid even at cold temperatures. The body burns MCT ketones for fuel easily without turning them into body fat. Unlike regular coconut oil, it contains none of the long-chain fatty acids on which those nasty lipopolysaccharides, LPSs, can ride. Other good choices include macadamia nut oil, walnut oil, avocado oil, Thrive algae oil, and ghee. Ghee is clarified butter, meaning that the milk solids, protein, have been removed, and with them, the offending lectin-like casein. You can also use citrus-flavored cod liver oil on salad or to dress cooked vegetables. Along with perilla oil, which does the best job, all of the oils and fats on the Say Yes Please list block LPSs from breaching the gut barrier. Unlike other polyunsaturated fats, long-chain fish oil omega-3s also block the entry of LPSs past your gut wall. I mentioned before that LPSs ride into your body from your gut on saturated fats. But these fats can't get through without special transport molecules called chylomicrons. The LPSs stow away on chylomicrons, which are formed to carry the long-chain saturated fats, and hitch a ride to get through the gut wall. And the last thing you want are LPSs invading your body right now. Sadly, even my best friend olive oil should be limited for the first 2 weeks of this phase of the Plant Paradox program, as it too is carried by chylomicrons. A word of advice to any paleo and ketogenic followers who believe that saturated fats are good for you. A recent study shows that saturated fats, such as lard, increase hunger and appetite by delivering LPSs to the brain's hunger center. By contrast, fish oil does exactly the opposite, actually sending signals to the brain that help you moderate your food intake. Is it any wonder that so many paleo recipes are for desserts? One popular paleo blogger's site is called All Day I Dream About Food. That's the last thing that will happen as the Plant Paradox program kicks in. The program, phase two. Now that you have the food list and some accompanying information, and assuming you have done the 3-day cleanse or chosen not to, it is time to put the rest of the program into action. You will follow phase two for 6 weeks. Why so long? Although you can begin to repair your gut and drive out most of the gang members in a few days with the phase one cleanse, some of them are still lurking, plotting to take over the neighborhood again. During phase two, you can't let your guard down as you follow the list of acceptable foods. I've found that people typically need at least 6 weeks to change ingrained habits. Let's be clear, habits and addictions are hard to break, as anyone who is detoxed or cleansed at a rehab center or spa for a couple of weeks knows all too well. Yes, you will start to feel great in a couple of weeks, but please don't be fooled. The bad bugs are still there, marginalized to be sure, but just waiting for a chance to regain their advantage. Please show them no mercy for a full 6 weeks. After what they've done to you, you need to punish them unmercifully and starve them out of your life. Continue to plug the holes. What will you be avoiding or omitting to allow your body to heal? As indicated on the Just Say No list, eliminate most high lectin-containing foods, including vegetables in the nightshade family and vegetables with seeds, the exception being avocados, as well as grains, pasta, bread, cereal, crackers, etc. Omit all out-of-season fruit, except those with resistant starches, the not-yet-ripe fruits on the Say Yes Please list, and avocados. Preferably give all other fruit the boot. Modern fruit is as bad as candy. Avoid long-chain saturated fats, as well as limiting olive oil and coconut oil for the first 2 weeks to block LPSs from breaching the gut wall. Consume no more than 4 ounces of all animal protein twice a day for 8 ounces total. For instance, if you have 2 eggs for breakfast, wait until dinner for the next 4 ounce portion of animal protein. Who knew? Consider eating less beef, pork, and lamb to reduce your new 5GC intake. This applies to grass-fed animals as well. Consume only pasture-raised chicken, duck, and turkey. Try to make wild fish and shellfish a significant portion of your protein intake, but avoid any farm-raised fish. Do not be fooled by claims that it is organic, particularly salmon, tilapia, catfish, or shrimp. Avoid fish high on the food chain, such as swordfish, grouper, tilefish, and sushi-grade tuna, which accumulate more mercury and other heavy metals. Vegetarians and vegans should omit tofu and other unfermented soy products. Continue to feed the gut buddies. What will you be eating to feed the residents of the condo that is you? Maximize your resistant starch intake to allow your friendly gut bugs to produce short-chain fatty acids and ketones, the fats you can use directly as fuel that you can absorb from your gut. These starches include plantains, taro root, shirataki noodles, and other non-grain pastas, parsnips, turnips, jicama, celery root, and Jerusalem artichokes, sunchokes, as well as unripe fruits such as green bananas, mangoes, and papayas. Eat lots of fructo-oligosaccharides, FOS, a form of indigestible, for you, sugar, in the form of inulin and its cousin yacon, on which your gut bugs thrive. These compounds are found in vegetables such as radicchio, Belgian endive, Jerusalem artichokes, sunchokes, okra, artichokes, onions, and garlic. They are also available as powders and in sweeteners, such as sweet leaf and just like sugar. Eat raw or cooked mushrooms, which provide more unique FOS to pamper your gut buddies. Consume as many leafy green vegetables and vegetables in the cabbage family, crucifers, as possible. Increase gram-positive bacteria and their friends, the gut buddies, by consuming polyphenol compounds in pulp from all acceptable fruits. Put your juicer back to work by reverse juicing. Juice your fruits, toss the juice, which is where the candy lurks, and add the pulp to a smoothie. Or blend it with plain goat, sheep, or coconut yogurt and toss into any salad dressing. Consume lemon juice and vinegars, including balsamic vinegar from Modena, Italy, which also contains polyphenols.